You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
13 minutes it is to 6 o'clock, and fans have been waiting for a very long 5 years for the 9th in the Outlander series of novels. It is now with us. It is called Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone, and the author Diana Gabaldon joins us via Zoom from the US. Diana, a very, very good morning, and thank you for your time.
It's my pleasure, John. Glad to be here.
My guess is that the vast majority of people who are listening to us now, who know about the Outlander series, know about it through television rather than the book. And I say, well, but you wouldn't have the series if it weren't for the book. But, I mean, how do you feel about that?
No, I don't think that's true at all.
Oh, okay.
Books have been extremely popular for the last 30 years. And, in fact, it is the popularity of the books and the number of their fans that caused the television people to come looking for me. But I won't say that the show has not helped quite a lot because, of course, they have a much broader reach than does publishing, as, you know, just as an industry, bigger advertising budgets and the like. And the show is very, very good. So it's done quite a bit, I expect, for my sales, but it's by no means responsible for everything.
Well, yeah, well, I'm very, very glad to hear that because I much prefer the book than the screen myself. I'm somebody who much prefers to read than to watch. So I'm very glad to hear that. I mean, to take us back to the beginning, I mean, it's quite an extraordinary story in its own. There you are. You've got a PhD. You're a professor in computational mathematics and you decide to write a work of fiction. And what, 30 odd years later, you are one of the most successful fiction writers in the world.
That's rather staggering, yes. Actually, I was a biologist and I'm still a scientist because they don't take your PhD away just because you write novels. But I don't practice at it anymore, you might say. No, the truth is that I wanted to be a novelist from about the age of 8. I knew that was what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't know how. You know, writing a novel is not like getting a law degree and setting up after the bar exam, things like that, where there's a clearly marked path as to what steps you take. When you write a novel, you're pretty much inventing it as you go. You're on your own. So, you know, it's a little bit of a daunting prospect. And I came from a very conservative family background. My father would say to me, "You're such a poor judge of character. You're bound to marry some bum," he'd say. "So be sure you get a good education so you can support your family." So that's how I happened to have 3 degrees in the biological sciences. I liked science. I was good at it. The computational stuff is because I had a peculiar expertise acquired entirely by accident in scientific computation, which is not at all the same thing, but no need to get into that. I had always wanted to be a novelist. When I turned 35, I said, well, you know, Mozart was 36 when he died. So, you know, maybe you should get a move on here. So that's when I decided to write a novel for practice. So I did. And that was Outlander. And, you know, here we all are.
Yeah, I did read your paper about the pinion jay because I'm particularly interested in birds. So I know you from your biological past. And you, I mean, you could have had no, I think your original deal was for a trilogy. So you knew that this was a story that you needed to tell over 3 books. And you, I think you've made it plain that the next one, the 10th, is going to be the last in this series. But you could have had absolutely no inkling and perhaps even no optimistic hope that what has happened would happen.
No, I didn't have a clue. No, essentially what happened was that I was halfway through writing Outlander when I realized that, you know, we had something here and I managed to get a very good literary agent before I'd finished writing the book. Well, as I got close to sending it to him, I said, "I've realized that there's more to this story, but I thought I should stop while I could still lift it. So, you know, if anyone is interested, you could tell them I think there's more." So he did, and he did, and they were interested. And so they said to him, "Well, trilogies are very popular. Do you think she could write two more, three altogether?" And being a good agent, he said, "Oh, I'm sure she could." So that's how I came to have a 3-book contract. Now, I never said there's 3 or 2 or whatever. I just said there's more. And so, as I say, here we are. As for number 10, I think that's the end, but I don't know. You know, I thought there was only one to start with. And as I say, here we are.
And the original decisions, because these books occupy, we can discuss genre, and it helps readers because they know what area of the bookshop to go to where they're most likely to find books of the kind that they most like to read. But from the beginning, Outlanders was something different, was something unique. The time travel element, the history element, the romance element. There are a lot of things in there which you don't find in many books, that melange of elements. How did that come about, that instead of setting the meeting between Jamie and Claire as two people at the time of the Jacobite uprising, you decided to take Claire back from the mid-20th century?
Well, there are actually two answers to that question. One is regarding genre and so forth. You're dead right. At least that used to be the case in terms of bookstores and shelves and so forth. A book went on a shelf in a bookstore and it had to have a label of some kind. Nowadays, with books being sold online, you know, Amazon can and does list a book as every single genre that it can conceivably fit in and so forth. That's much less important. But back in the day, yes, it was very difficult for people to figure out what the heck these books were about or what they should be called. And people still had a problem with that. As to the time travel, though, that was Claire's fault. I was writing what I assumed to be just historical fiction, having decided that that was probably the easiest thing I could write for practice. Because I was a research professor, I could look things up. And on the third day of writing, I just had this man in a kilt that I was working with, having watched a Doctor Who episode with a man in a kilt in a weak-minded moment. That's why it's set in Scotland in the 18th century. But about the third day of writing, I said, well, I think I must have a lot of Scotsmen because of the kilt factor, but I think I should have a female character to play off these guys, and we'll have sexual tension. That's good. And so I said, okay, well, on the basis of 3 days' research, it looks like the Jacobite Rising was between the English and the Scots. It wasn't really, but that was close enough. And I said, so if I make her an English woman, we will have lots of conflict. So on the third day, I introduced this English woman. No idea who she was, what she was doing there. She walked into a cottage full of Scotsmen, and they were all crouched around the hearth muttering to each other. They turned around and stared at her when they came in. And I was saying, what's the matter with her, you know? why are they staring? Anyway, one of them stood up and he said, my name's Dougal Mackenzie, and who might you be? And without my stopping to think, I just typed, my name's Claire Elizabeth Beecham, and who the hell are you? And I said, you don't sound at all like an 18th century person. So I fought with her for several pages, trying to beat her into shape and make her talk like a historical woman. But no, she wasn't having any. She just kept making smart-ass remarks about whatever she saw. And I said, fine, I'm not going to fight with you all the way through this book. I said, go ahead and be modern. I'll figure out how you got there later. So it's all her fault that there's time travel.
Just a couple of messages in from our listeners. From Tanya, never seen the shows, but have read all the books. Thank you, Diana. My best read. From Colleen, I read the Outlander books years ago and have been waiting impatiently for the new one. Just love them. I've watched the series as well. And though it's very good, the books give so much more detail. And that takes me to another question about the detail and how you keep track of it all. Because there is no sense. I mean, As the books develop, and the latest one is set in 1779, so it is 34 years after Jamie and Claire were torn apart by the uprising and in America, and the American Revolution is threatening, and the damage that is going to do. And in this book, there are more character viewpoints than in the previous ones, and you do wonder how you keep all of this detail together to make sure that everything flows as naturally as it does through the 888 pages of this book and all of the hundreds of pages of the previous books.
Well, I don't plan books ahead of time. I don't outline them, and I don't write in a straight line. I write in small pieces where I can see things happening. And so I may write something and I have no idea what happens next, but I'll go and look for another place where I see some thread of light, and I'll write there until that scene is done. If I still don't know what's going on, I'll go and write somewhere else. Anyway, maybe 3 months later, I'll write something and think, aha, that explains why this original piece happened. And so I'll put that in front. I have a bigger piece, and reading through that, I can see what has to happen next. So I write that. So in a way, it's very organic. It's like growing crystals in your basement, or as I say, like playing Tetris in my head, but very slowly. Anyway, the baseline here is that things hook up because they fit organically together. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have to engineer cement periodically to fit larger blocks together. Because as I work, you know, the overall shape of the book emerges, and then it's easier to fit pieces where that something is missing or to see that something is missing. One of the benefits of taking a long time to write these books is that I have both room in terms of the size of the book, but more importantly, in terms of what's going on in my head, I have time to develop these various pieces and look at them and see how they'll work. As to keeping track, though, there's a very concrete answer to that. Each book that I start writing, I have what's called an M file for the master file. And this is a list of the scenes that I write. Each one is named with a word regarding the book title. For instance, this one was Jamie 9 because it's the ninth book. And the first book was called Jamie in my code system. So Jamie 9. And then there's a symbol indicating what year it is, because it does take me more than a year to write these, so to avoid confusion. So this would be Jamie 9 and a plus sign, which is this year's symbol. So Jamie 9 plus dot, and then three letters or digits indicating the month and day on which I began writing. So if I wrote something today for the next book, it would be Jamie 10 plus dot D 3, yeah, okay. For the 3rd of December.
It's a wonderful combination.
It's the 2nd of December, so it would be D2,
yeah,
sorry.
It's a wonderful combination between complete invention and total structure, putting the two together, and you get what's on the pages.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so I frequently have people say, both sides of your brain must be so developed. And I said, well, they both work, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure I buy into the left side, right side thing. Though it is true that my son, who is an extremely intelligent and gifted novelist in his own right, cannot do numbers. So evidently he just hasn't got a left side. but mine do work together pretty well.
It's absolutely, absolutely wonderful to have number 9 in the series available with us, and watch a rich tapestry of action and character and romance and drama and intrigue it is. It's been wonderful chatting to you. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you so much, John.
Diana Gabaldon, author of the 9th Outlander novel and obviously the previous 8, Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone.